Hi, and welcome to the WP Innovator Podcast, the WordPress podcast for design and web agencies. Let's make WordPress work for your business.
Hi, and welcome to the WP Innovator Podcast. This is your host, Lee Jackson. And today we interview Matt Newton from the Web Agency Podcast. We're going to discover behind the scenes of his niche website business focused on the tourism industry, where he has produced websites using WordPress multisite. Matt has many amazing stories, both of his business and of his travels. So without further ado, let's kick off. But first, a short word from our sponsor. The WP Innovator Podcast is sponsored by SochiPress, the world's first set-and-forget Twitter solution for WordPress. Share and reshare your valuable content, as well as receive feeds from top influencers in your industry. Go and check out SochiPress for WordPress today on leejacksondev.com/plugin. Use the code PODCAST for a 10% discount. Hi, this is Lee at the WP Innovator Podcast, and today I have with me the one and only Matt Newton from Tourism Tiger fame, and most of you will probably know him from the Web Agency Podcast. Hiya, mate. How are you doing?
Hey, Lee. Very good. How are you?
I'm all right. Haley is a girl's name, by the way, just for the record.
That was like subliminal, man. Subliminal. I was trying to pay you a compliment, actually. That's right. All those people out there making those assumptions about calling you a girl and being an insult, it's actually not.
Don't
judge so quickly.
Awesome. Well, Matt is a guy it's funny, Matt had me on his podcast a few weeks ago, which was an absolute honor, especially because I've spent probably the last 6 months to a year listening to this guy, having this guy in my ear at weekends on long drives. He's got
and also at the same time you're listening to my podcast too, so right? I was in your ear on one side, just creeping you out, and the other side you're listening to my podcast.
It was a little awkward at times, but but yeah, when he wasn't whispering into my ear, it was the Web Agency Podcast, which is on the webagencypodcast.com. He's run a podcast for the last, I think it's 2 or 3 years now, mate, is it?
Yeah,
about 2 or 3 years. He doesn't look old enough from his picture, but yeah, it's been about 2 years. And he's got a podcast online that is focused specifically on design agencies, freelancers, web developers, etc. And the caliber of guests he's had on there, including myself, obviously, is very high. And they are always dropping really good value bombs all the time, to coin a phrase. But also, it's all very specialized. So it was great fun to be on the podcast, and Matt's reciprocated. And he's here to share the benefits of his wisdom that he's gained over the years. But he's also got a really cool model as well of selling websites, which I know everybody's going to be really interested in. And that's the Tourism Tiger model as well, which I'm going to get into explaining in a minute. So before we do crack on, mate, do you want to just say hi, give people a little bit of a background about who you are better than my ramblings and all that jazz?
Yeah, it's funny, actually. Like, talking about this new model, I get like probably 50 to 100 people a month coming to my website via articles written. Like, I end up on these listicles that pop up around the place of productized web design businesses, you know? And yeah, it's like, it's something that seems to be interesting to people. So I'm from, Tourism Tiger. We do websites for tour and activity operators. And we do it in a highly systemized fashion. So often I use, say, McDonald's as an analogy. Like, McDonald's designs the burger at head office and it gets built at the store. So we have a slightly similar model. Like, the expertise goes into designing the overall system as opposed to designing an individual website, right? So that process enables us to do it for a lot cheaper, but also more effectively, because we focus really, really heavily on one niche, and that enables us to have insights that would have taken us 1 year to develop after working in tourism. So that means that the tour operators that work with us get, they pay less money and they get a more effective website. So everyone wins.
That's awesome. And you're learning, presumably, as well from the different websites that you've got going on there. You're learning from the activity and the things that those guys are getting up to, so you can then apply that to new people who come along to your website. To your service.
Yeah, exactly. And you meet people in the industry as well, and they teach you stuff, and you just follow blogs in the industry about how people have ran this test and that test and all that kind of stuff. Like following a whole bunch of really specialized industry resources and having those chats has enabled us to really sort of gradually have realizations that the types of realizations that only come after you've peeled away layer and layer after layer of sort of initial learnings, if that makes sense. Mm. So, you know, in this year, we're going to be implementing some of the stuff that Booking.com and Expedia.com has implemented. So we're going to be getting to some pretty high level sort of like stuff, you know, the sort of stuff that like only to this point, multi-million dollar businesses have had access to. Now our customers going to have access to it. So we're really, really excited about that.
Well, that's already blowing my mind as a regular holiday booker. I know how complicated those systems are, and I'm glad I'm not the developer behind that. So if you're offering that to your clients, I bet they're going nuts over it. That's amazing, mate.
Well, that's the thing about running, like we run it as a product, if that makes sense. Mm. So a lot of people who run productized web design, they fall into a trap of not running it as a product. So mm-hmm. obviously if you run a software company, someone requests a feature, you treat it as a feature request. But web design productized service people, they don't realize that someone's requesting a feature. So basically we treat them as feature requests. So basically if a customization happens to the system, it happens to the system, not to their website, right? So
that's
like
right.
I'm not talking about colors or fonts, right? I'm talking about like, you know, feature changes. Hmm. And that makes it way easier for us to maintain the whole system and be robust and all that kind of stuff. So,
What was it that kind of got you into the tourism world? Was it any personal passion of yours, for example?
Yeah, it's funny. I used to be a tourism marketing consultant, but I arrived at this idea independently of tourism. So basically, I just had this, you know, idea come along of how amazing would it be to pick a one small business niche and just like learn lessons over time, and everyone pays a monthly fee, and we just apply lessons, and we do conversion rate optimization testing, conversion rate testing, I should say, as a cohort. So obviously small businesses don't have the traffic or the resources to do it, but if they can become part of a bigger cohort of really similar businesses, it's possible, at least I hope. Hmm. You know, and I thought, man, that'd be so amazing. I would so love to sign up for that. And I got really excited. I was like, all right, let's pick the small business niche. You know, I was like, all right, I'm going to blog. I'm going to give all my advice. It's going to be amazing. And I Googled it, like, all right. So I was like, okay, so how do I pick a niche? All right. What's the list of the businesses who make the most profits, right? So I Googled this, and number one on the list was accountants. I'm like, all right, so it's going to be accountants. And I go and find a bunch of blogs about how to increase your accounting business. And I was like falling asleep by the end of the third And if there's one thing I've learned is that you can't, like, if you're going to do content marketing, if you're just going to go into business, you got to have a spark naturally keeps you going, if that makes sense. Like, if you can't just be for the money, I've learned that the hard way. You have to be naturally interested in solving the problems, because that natural interest just means you have to motivate yourself a lot less, because it just comes naturally, you know? So, you know, I went through that list, and there was like lawyers and doctors and dentists and vets and all that kind of stuff. But I was like, I'm going to screw that way of thinking and just think, okay, so what do I have experience in? What am I interested in? And I was like, well, I definitely have experience with tourism businesses, and I definitely am interested in the problems they have. And I did a bit of looking around, and I was like, man, I could easily write 50 to 100 like blog topics just like right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously, one piece of advice is don't start a blog if you can't literally sit down and write 50 topics off the top of your head. And in my case, it was so easy. So I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's go. And so I decided to pick tour and activities first, despite the fact that in many ways it's not an optimal niche, because they don't have a huge amount of money in their businesses. But hey, like I said, I picked it for the interest, and we've been going from there.
That's amazing. That's a great story as well. And it's so important, isn't it, to pick on a passion rather than trying to do something you're not passionate about. It's really hard to force it. But when you're passionate, it's like me with WordPress. I use WordPress all the time, but I don't just use it as a business tool. I freaking well geek out in an evening whilst we're all watching TV, installing new plugins, writing stuff just for this sake. Yeah. I think that makes me kind of like an uber nerd rather than a geek.
Uh-huh. I've, I'm I'm like totally confused about the difference. I've tried to educate myself on this.
Well,
I'm just
I think a geek is able to get married probably and have a life, and then maybe a nerd has never got out of the door. I don't know. Actually, maybe people could write in and let us know the differentiation. I'm never sure. I always feel conflicted. I need help. No, mate.
I won't tell anyone about these issues.
Yeah, it's just between you and me.
Yeah, me and you and the millions of listeners.
Well, it'd be nice to have millions at some point. That'd be awesome.
You'll get there, Lee. I believe in you, man.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I should cry a little bit now. That was beautiful. So that's really exciting. The idea as well of kind of focusing in on features as well. I thought that was really interesting. So when people come up to you and say, how could you change this to do it this way to match my business process? Because I think it would be great. Actually, you're coming at this saying, okay, sounds good. But is there a real business case for this particular feature or this particular workflow? And if you can see the benefit, and if other people within, you know, your group, as in the your users are saying, yeah, this is what we want, then you can answer that need and start to develop it. So it's like a validation, isn't it, of things before you have to build.
So we basically have three types of changes we'll make. Right, the first one is the business case one, where there's an obvious business case for doing it. We just haven't got around to it yet because we have a big list of shit we need to get to. The next one is where there's an obvious business case for us. So in the sense of, like, it may not have any obvious impact to them, but it'll help us sell the service a bit better. And that in the end actually helps solve the customer problems, because it helps us sign more people up to solve their problems, right? It's a bit of a roundabout way, but I genuinely believe that a tour operator is better off with us than anyone else. So anything I can use, even if it's just a bill and a whistle to convince them and it doesn't hurt their business, fine. The next kind of one is just a tiny little change, and it's easy to make, and it'll keep them happy. So I just do it, and it won't cause any major changes to the system. And the last type of change that we won't make is the one where the business case is not there.
Which is no change at all. I like it. Did you say that you would like code in a whistle if someone asked for it?
No. Well,
I was gonna say I'd love to see that.
I wouldn't do that particularly, but yeah, I just mean like people asking for random bells and whistles, you know.
Oh, I get you. I was trying to work that one out. I was like, okay.
So for example, like, we have a few customers with blogs, and one of them requested a certain thing that, like, to be able to do a certain thing with the images, and we looked into it, and it's like literally like three words of code or something, not even a line, you know, half a line. So we just did that. So it's fine.
Yeah, that's awesome. And actually perfectly timed clapping in the background as well. So just before we started recording, Matt was explaining that there is some sort of meeting or presentations going on in the next room. So if you hear random applause, they may or may not be for Matt. With the awesome stuff that he's sharing today.
So far, zero for five.
Well, I feel like applauding, but I think that'd be really loud down this microphone. So this is great. So far, we've got an amazing insight already into Tourism Tiger, which is super exciting. Me and some guys about 8 years ago did a similar model. It still runs. They're still running that system now, which was targeted at the event sector. So that's a event and exhibition organizers, based on WordPress multi-site, similar sort of model. And then we had one or two standard themes and standard products, etc. And that still runs nowadays as quite a good model. And again, the same as you, it's had that advantage of getting people using it, getting their feedback, and then creating features based on needs, etc. So if you're listening and this is piquing your interest, go and check out tourismtiger.com. It's an amazing way of building websites and creating epic value based on real business cases, etc. There you go. There's your tagline for the future, mate.
So, dude, like, we're gradually getting there. The first website we launched, I was embarrassed to show it to people.
Really?
It was funny because, like, it was based on our research, so a lot of his sales went up a bunch, right? So at least we helped them that way. But I was embarrassed to show it to people because it wasn't that good looking. But you know, because we have this product mentality, we've been gradually evolving. Now we're at pretty decent levels, and, you know, within the next year, we're going to be, you know, at bloody amazing. So that ability to be able to...
That on your chart right now. You know those charts that are on the board?
Yeah.
And you got and pretty decent, and then you got like target bloody amazing. And
exactly. And the fact that we on an ongoing basis improve our customer websites is, you know, it takes a load off my shoulders. So it's like, I can look at this stuff, I'm like, all right, you're not perfect yet, but you're going to be. So...
I guess that the beauty of that is as well, mate, that you're saying that you're improving on clients' websites. It's one code base. So if you're adding a feature, you're going to add it in once. You can distribute presumably some sort of how-to information to everybody, and everybody gets the value of that. And in return, you're getting monthly revenue. You're not trying to balance multiple complicated projects back to back all the time, because that's one thing that I know a lot of agencies are dealing with. That every single web build, even if it's in WordPress, is like a from scratch. Here's the new product brief. Here's the 6 month project timeline. Everyone code your butts off. Stressful times.
Yeah.
Manages to deliver 2 months late. All goes live, and then everyone collapses before the next one kicks off. Whereas again, this sort of model is, you're adding in these features and everyone benefits for a really, really good price as well, a monthly cost.
It's too low. It is too low. But yeah, it's just like this sort of thing you just talked about does seem attractive in a certain way, like these big intense projects, la la la. But just, I mean, obviously the type of business you want to make sure it aligns with your goals, right? And the lifestyle you want to have and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And so that's a big factor.
That's awesome. I get the impression from your websites as well that you...
I think about design. You are correct.
No, this is totally incorrect, because I think that's probably just that this is inner critical person in you, like any designer in the world who is never happy with anything they produce.
Yeah.
So...
in this case, I'm actually not a designer, but I do have sort of like, I'm the product manager, so to speak, if that makes sense. But the good news is we have a full-time designer starting with us in a week. I know it's crazy. I've run a design company. I haven't had a full-time designer.
I think I heard perfectly timed claps there as well, but that's amazing, mate. Well,
that was an ironic applause, actually.
What I was going to say is not that you're a bad designer, because I actually love your website and I love your logo. I get the impression you're kind of a well-traveled guy, especially from the description of you by Ben on your podcast. Is that kind of stemming from something like the 4-hour work week? Not saying you work only 4 hours, but that kind of travel lifestyle of running a business and traveling the world?
Yeah, so 4-hour work week. 4-hour work week was a big part of it. Mm. So, and obviously, there's this huge influence on so many people. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to... Basically, I've just started out from a point of I wanted to be successful in a very lazy way, and gradually having that laziness just sort of just beaten out of me by life. So I want to start websites where I didn't have to do basically any work. I could just set them up and just sit back and just reel in the money while doing like shitty SEO. And that's where I was at. And then like it just gradually evolved from there. And then... I did okay. I had a few websites that made a decent amount of money, because basically after making a lot of shitty AdSense websites, I made a couple of really good ones, which were actually legitimately good, and had our own little like marketing consultant sort of thing where I was doing online marketing consulting for 10 hours a week. And between those two things, I made a pretty healthy living. So I was, I've lived in a few countries, Egypt, Thailand, cool. Germany, Spain, and a few others. And it's been a super, super interesting journey. So I think it's part of the reason why I chose the business model I did now. I wanted to sort of keep the good times rolling.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason that prompted me was because you were saying when you're starting a business, if you think about what's the sort of lifestyle you want to lead, and I definitely got that impression. Other than being ruggedly handsome and a cricket fanatic, I figured you were also... an avid traveler, and that had been part of the reason behind kind of the product selection or the way you've marketed this product. It's well cool, man.
Yeah. Well cool.
Did you ever get to go to sunny old England as well in your travels?
I did, because I was in Germany and my 90-day Schengen zone visa ran out. So you can only, basically, as a way of explanation, if you're not from Europe and you're from a country that gets an instant visa to Europe, you can only spend 90 days in this group of like 20 countries. It's insane. So most countries, obviously, you get a visa for that country. For this, you more like get a visa for the entire Western Europe. Ran out of that time, went to England while I applied for a proper visa. So basically just bided my time, just waiting till I could leave again. But I didn't have a very nice time in London.
No, it's expensive down in London.
Oh, dude, man. Yes. But London's really nice. The one thing I have discovered is that there are a whole bunch of really, really awesome places in the world. So.
Totally. And you're making me kind of stare dreamily into space as I imagine taking my family and traveling. It's exactly the way I want to go.
before you dream too much, you develop some like nice stories, but you also develop some pretty crazy ones. Like I've seen someone get shot. I've had like someone fire a gun in anger, literally about 5 meters away from where I was standing. Wow. I've walked straight into multiple riots. There's been some interesting experiences, but it's all been part of the fun.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of taking kids and stuff, I would say probably don't take them to Egypt, especially when it's in the middle of unrest. That's probably the best way to avoid a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of it you just can't avoid. Like I'm in Chile right now, and so probably the safest, most stable, best run. Every single good adjective you can probably apply to a country in terms of its government, it deserves that one for Latin America. Mm. And even then, like my third day here, that was when I saw someone get shot. So, it's just one of those things. You just bite the bullet, pull the trigger, so to speak. It's funny. I've just used two metaphors related to shooting people. you bite the bullet, pull the trigger,
I was waiting for the applause in the background.
They're a bit slow, and they have to take these guys, English well, second language sort of thing.
Thankfully, I've got a wife who's very nervous about the idea of traveling to anywhere that she would deem as unsafe. So we've only got like a safe zone list.
Yeah. So all right. So before we get back onto the topics, like this safe zone thing, like bugs me to no end. An American guy the other day told me he doesn't want to go to Germany because it's unsafe.
I've never heard of that. That's nuts.
Because Germany, because it could be the case that ISIS, like Islamic State, is looking to do an attack, and that applies literally to pretty much every country in the Western world.
Yeah.
And then you have this thing where you're in Colombia, for example, which a lot of people see as a dangerous place, and you talk about Egypt, and people are like, oh man, isn't that really dangerous? And you're like, yeah, but Colombia is also meant to be really dangerous, And they're like, oh yeah. The thing is, I was hanging out with two people from El Salvador, which is the murder capital of the world, pretty much. It's really duking it out for the top spot. A country of 6 million people where they had, literally one day not too long ago where they had 80 murders in one day.
No way.
And chatting to two people from there, and, they don't experience or live it at all because they live in a nice, reasonably comfortable area. Like, where I live in Santiago, the northeastern corner of Santiago is literally first world, right? Not like living in the first world or somewhat like living in it. It is first world, like full stop, right?
Yeah.
You'll see just as many poor people as you will in a rich country, in one of the richest cities in a rich country. So there's safe zones, and then there's also just incorrect perceptions, So
yeah.
Anyway.
No, that's really good. I like it. And I've never heard of someone thinking Germany was too risky.
Yeah, everyone's got their own perceptions, When I told my dad I was going to move to Egypt, he's like, Matt, I know that's not true because I know you would never be that stupid. And I was like, well, I've actually bought the ticket and I'm leaving in a week, and that's what's happening.
Mic drop.
Yeah, boom.
That's awesome, man. Well, mind blown already. We're kind of 20 minutes in, and it's absolutely fascinating learning about you, your business. Here's a question for you then: with the travel, with the Tourism Tiger model, or anything like that, what's been the biggest challenge to your business so far, mate?
It has been tough. Initially, it was tough as well, and I would say the biggest challenge has been getting a reputation completely through the internet. So not having any local networks to depend on, not having any real local meetups that I could rely on, or any initial customer base that I could transfer into this or anything like that.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just kind of picturing myself in a world without my network, and where would I start?
So imagine, starting from scratch. I started by – I'll tell you how I started. I wrote a book. I wrote a lot of blog posts just to get started, and then I went crazy tweeting out people in our industry, just because one of the good things about our industry, one of the good things and bad things, but good in this circumstance, was that no one shares anyone else's stuff. They share their own stuff. So if you go share someone else's stuff three times, you are literally the only person that's ever done that.
and you're their new best friend.
Yeah, exactly. They notice it.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Epic. Hey, here's something just kind of off subject that I've learned over the last kind of 2 months. So you'll notice on my Twitter feed as well. When people who are my target audience will follow me on Twitter or they like something, I'll actually do a video for them, a personalized video, like 14 seconds tops, saying hi to them. And I'll just put hey at whatever their handle is. And from that, I've got so much response, people emailing, as a, you know, people following back if they've not followed already, or then people starting to engage with other content of mine just by doing that. That was kind of a tip from our guest last week, Sarah Moore. She's actually my social media advisor as well. And I'd never thought of that until recently. Just those little video messages. It takes about 12 to 14 seconds of my time. And I only have to do it kind of maybe once or twice a day when someone who I'm like, oh yeah, there's someone I need to connect with, you know, there's synergy, quote unquote. I hate that word, but I'll use it now.
Yeah, I hate it.
I need to talk to that person, so I'm going to break up their notification feed with a video that auto plays. It's going to catch their eye. So hey,
So I guess I should. I guess I should wait on my video, huh?
There you go. Get on your video and say hi to a few people.
Yeah. Epic. So wait, like honestly, like 12 seconds, really?
Well, I think that's all you're allowed. I think you're allowed to upload about 12 seconds or so of video to Twitter. I might be totally wrong in this, but last time I tried to upload anything longer, it was telling me to trim it. So,
okay.
Plus, I mean, 12 seconds is easy to commit to anyway. It's like a quick hi. I'm not even selling at them. I'm just saying, hey, like something on your, you know, I noticed this tweet, hilarious, going to share it, whatever I'm going to say on it. You know, it's not even any salesy because I don't want to sell at people. I just want to connect with people that, you know, look interesting and stuff will happen from there, just building the network. But about 12 seconds, I think you're allowed. If you do like a YouTube video or something, I don't think that auto plays. Whereas if you're uploading just a small MP4 file of you on your phone, just waving hello, job done, you're going to catch their attention. Pretty cool. There you go. Top tip.
Cool. I'm going to pass that to our marketing manager right now.
There you are. You've learned something today, mate. Hey, so here's another big question for you then. What one thing or idea or maybe a product, I don't know, has been a complete game changer for you and your business? That's a big question, broad question.
It is. So obviously, so I would say one of the biggest game changers for me was, so I went through this process of trying to build businesses that were focused just around on like the lifestyle that I wanted to have and the goals that I had for what I wanted to do. And I got into this really big funk in Berlin when I was living there. I just quit all my projects, and, well, not all of them, but you know, just realized like I had two projects go to like flame out in a really bad way, and just realized that, and like no one cared about them. You know, and I'd done so much work and like not one person in the world cared. And I was like, from now on, I'm going to build something, stuff that people care about, you know, that actually make an impact, that if I was to disappear, someone would actually really notice. And obviously the best way to do that is to really help people in some way, you know? So I was like, the next business I build, the next thing I do is going to be about helping people. So that's when I started the Web Agency Podcast. Because I was like, I'm not even going to think about the money. I'm just going to think about helping people, you know? And so that's what that was about. And then I grew that and then started Tourism Tiger. So I think a strong focus on solving like real problems for people, like real sort of intrinsic problems to their business is really key, rather than, you know, you see some successful startups or you see some less successful ones. But a lot of time when you talk to people whose business isn't really coming along that well, it's like, well, is the problem you're solving really that worth it? And that's the thing, like, and that's when it comes into the financial stuff. So there was a guy here in Startup Chile who was part of the same program, and he had a project, like he had a freemium model where it was either free or $5 a month, right? Like, obviously you're not solving that big a problem if all you can do is charge $5 a month for it. So, and he would have to work like crazy to get, you know, to get 100 signups to the paid one, he'd probably have to get 1,000 signups to the free one at least. And oh my God, you know,
that's nuts.
So like you know, there's that saying, like you can achieve whatever you have in life if you just help enough people achieve what they want in life, or whatever the quote is. And that's, I think it's a really powerful quote.
That's so good, isn't it? It is like adding value, because when you add value, when you solve people's problems, people are going to want to work with you. You're already solving problems. You're already giving epic stuff away. I mean, it's just the same with your podcast. I mean, I've learned so much from you and from the guests on your podcast as well over the last, I'm going to guess it's about a year. And it's such great value. And, you know, and it makes me want to try and give back to you in some way. I can't buy a tourism website, I'm you know, but hey, how else can I help you? So I'll often share your podcast with other people, you know, make them aware of it, make them aware of Tourism Tiger, etc.
I think it's a really good mentality to have, right? So I just found the quote. It is, you can have everything in your life you want if you will just help other people get what they want, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what I try to do. Like, every time I join a community, I just try to, like, the Dynamite Circle, which is an online forum, which I'm just about to mention, or Startup Chile, which I got into. I just always try to come in and add a lot of value, you know, mm-hmm. and try to make the most amazing thing I can. And I think if enough people in the world do that, we get to live in an amazing world, you know?
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
I think that deserves a clap, but they're very mistimed over there, so no worries. That's amazing, mate. I've got a couple of questions here, but just off the back of that, this is pretty big stuff. We've talked about your podcast as well. I guess what would be great is if we could just go into some resources that you would recommend people go and check out. One of them obviously being the Web Agency Podcast.
You're gonna skip over the WordPress plugin question.
No, I'm gonna come back to that, but this is just a really good bridge.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, all right. Nice one. So obviously there's my podcast, Web Agency Podcast. If you do run an agency, I would suspect that you would get a lot of value out of it. There are so many great guests that have come along and shared amazing things, and people say that I ask unusually blunt or direct questions. I'm not aware of doing it, but apparently I do. So you get additional information out of guests that maybe they might not share elsewhere.
I can vouch for that. That's good.
It's awesome. And then there's also Dynamite Circle, which is a community for people. Like, I think you already have an established business where you're working for yourself online, you travel the world maybe, or you want to. At the very least, you're location independent and you want to level up with other people who are location independent. Dynamite Circle is an amazing place to be. I would say it's one of the top five best decisions I've ever made in my life was joining Dynamite Circle. So, but like I said, it's just...
So is that like a mastermind of some
sort? It's like 900 people, and I'm part of a mastermind that was started within it. Mm-hmm. It's basically a private forum. So, you know, like most free online forums, they're stuck because they're free. Mm-hmm. This is like a private paid one, and so you... every time I'm trying to make a decision in my business, I go searching through it because the archives are full of thousands of threads of people asking about like cold emailing or cold calling or about, Beaver Builder, for example, is a popular one. I search for Beaver Builder and I find actual people's experiences, and then I go message them and get them on Skype and we have a chat. Yeah. You know, the value of it's insane. Like I owe pretty much everything I have to the Dynamite Circle. And I think it's just, two things was like the timing of me joining, and because of what I just said before, if you go into a community looking to add a stack of value and have the most amazing time possible rather than just sitting on the sidelines, you'll get way more value out of that community. And that's just a general rule that holds everywhere, I think.
This is good. This is good stuff. Is that tropicalmba.com/DC?
Is the podcast, yeah. Yep. Well, I'm not sure what the URL of it is. If you go to dynamitecircle.com, it'll probably redirect you or Google it. But yeah, Tropical MBA is another podcast which is amazing. If you wanted to do the location independent thing, it's incredible.
Cool, man.
So yeah.
Well, I'll make sure those go into the show notes. Sorry, I just kind of thought it was a perfect segue into that. Yeah. But yes, let's hit with the WordPress plugin. You did mention Beaver Builder just then, which pricked my ears up. I love that plugin. But what WordPress plugin or plugins, you're allowed as many as you want, really, would you like to throw out there that you think our wonderful people should be checking out?
So the reason I mentioned Beaver Builder is because I was desperately trying to avoid the one I came onto the show to mention. And that one was Advanced Custom Fields. I'm sure if you haven't mentioned it on the podcast, I had it mentioned.
Nobody has mentioned it. You are actually the first. I know. Man, I'm surprised.
What kind of losers are you inviting on to this? Advanced Custom Fields is the legit shit. Check it out.
There you go. And for those who don't know what it is, just quickly, it allows you to add, literally, as it says, custom fields. That's custom data against all sorts of stuff in WordPress, and that's not just posting pages, but also maybe against users, so you could create registration forms and everything. It is just bananas. It's good.
You can make registration forms?
Mate, did you not know you can make registration forms?
We haven't yet tried to make a form for anything on
you
the front end.
You can do anything. Yeah, so ACF underscore form function, you can just load that into your theme. You can output the forms that you see in the back end in the front end with all of your designs.
I've been curious about this. This is another note. I'm learning from you, man.
No worries. I think I dropped on the podcast with you as well, didn't I? The whole thing about just creating a folder and you would be able to sync using JSON, your custom fields across your entire site. There's also we're getting geeky now, but mate, there's some. We need. I'm totally happy to do a call with you and just show you some of the stuff I do in ACF if you ever want to, or pass me on to your developer and we'll just have some geek time.
Yes. Well, I'm hiring a new developer right now, so I think that may be something I'll take you up on.
There you go. All right, and I've offered it on the podcast, so I can't let you down now, mate. I can't let you down. Cool. So ACF. Was there anything else you were going to mention, or shall we just stick with advanced custom fields?
Advanced custom fields works.
It works for me as well.
So I guess maybe I'll check in one more. The Sumo Me Welcome Matt doubled our email subscriber rate.
That's a big round of applause there. Sorry, say again.
the Sumo Me Welcome Matt
Sumo.
Doubled our the Welcome Matt plugin thing doubled our email subscribe rate on the blog. It's like 8.9% or 7% or something insane. So
I'm gonna go download that. The guys over at Sumo Me are amazing. Noah is well cool. I was on one of his courses many years ago. So I'm kind of a bit of a Noah fanboy. But
yeah, it looks like the people here. Looks like the background applause. The applauding team are also a fan. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Hey man, this has been really cool. What we like to do with every podcast, obviously we love to learn about people's stories.
But you also love to send them chocolate.
Yes.
It's the first time anyone's offered this to me. I love it. I guess.
Hang on. I think they deliver. I'm pretty sure they deliver to Chile. I'll have to double check. You like dark chocolate, do you? Or milk chocolate? Let's have a look at this.
Yeah, if it gives me diabetes, I like it. Just like, let's use that as a...
really rich chocolate. Okay, there you go. So yeah, so what we love to do is give our guests chocolate. but we also love it when our guests share with our listeners one nugget, not a chicken nugget, but a nugget of really cool, valuable information. Just a small action, a small piece of advice that people could apply to their agency, their web development company, their media agency, whatever it is that you believe will make a difference.
Okay, so this is going to segue into a little bit of self-promo, but it is really, really key.
I'm going to sit back. You go for it.
I'm going to say that if you have never hired an assistant online to do a process for you, you are so missing out on one of the biggest time liberators you can possibly ever enjoy. So, few years, I've hired over 100 people through Upwork, and it's been amazing. We have like 2 full-time project assistants that work for us, and they make a great wage for Serbia, but a not so great wage, obviously, if you're living in England. But it works really well for them, and like all the repetitive stuff of building our websites, these guys just do it. So basically, we have a philosophy within the team that no one deals with anything below their pay grade, if that makes sense. So if it has to happen, that's fine. But like, if it becomes, it's repetitive enough, if it happens enough times, we systemize it to someone who does it at they're maxing out themselves, if that makes sense. So if you're like a $100 an hour consultant and you're like logging in, you know, you're updating plugins in WordPress or who knows, launching people's websites, setting up analytics. I mean, all this stuff is just repeatable, like adding content into someone's website. All this stuff is super repeatable. So I would say that, like, don't butt off the whole hog. Oh, geez. Lee, stop me before I make too many more terrible metaphors. just try it once. It's one of those things where, like, if you've never done it before, and there's so many times in my life where I've resisted for years, and then when I finally get around to doing something, I'm like, oh yeah, shit, I see why people have been recommending that restaurant for so long. Or I realize why people have been recommending that TV show to me for 5 years and I've been ignoring it. Stuff like that, you know. It's one of those things where I always just say, like, just shut your stupid part of the brain up that, like, just has an inertia. Go just make a note. I'm just going to take one little process. I'm going to write the instruction. I'm going to get someone to do it. And what you're going to find out is that they're going to fuck up 40% of it because you've never written instructions before. You don't know how to. But, like, after a couple of times of doing this, oh, man, like – just to give you an idea, 95% of the website build process, I do not touch. Mm-hmm. Only the most difficult stuff flows up to me, and all the rest just happens. We've built entire websites where all I did was sold the person, did the onboarding call, and that's the only interaction I had with the project.
Mm. That's awesome.
Because of systemization, writing processes, hiring virtual assistants, all that kind of stuff. So basically, obviously, the segue there is I'm launching a job board right now called jobrack.eu specifically for hiring Eastern Europeans. Because if you do hire an online assistant, please just save yourself a lot of time and pain and money and do what all people do who have years of experience in this field and just hire from Eastern Europe.
That's jobrack.eu.
Jobrack.eu. So it's a job board for anyone who wants to hire from Eastern Europe. So what we've basically – I've basically become really good at finding Eastern European candidates, and what we're going to do is people sign up and advertise their jobs, and we're just going to basically slam every possible source of Eastern Europe to get as many candidates onto this thing as possible and create this amazing job board. The reason I'm doing this, even though that I already have a business, is because it's super necessary. Eastern Europe is the best hiring zone for so much stuff, and – if you haven't tried it, just try it. You'll love it.
That's amazing. I mean, having read the 4-Hour Workweek myself, he does go on about hiring a virtual assistant or hiring people to do certain jobs. And I mean, the amount of hours I've wasted doing stuff that I'm relatively good at, but I really don't need to be doing because I could be concentrating on growing the business. So it's only really been for myself in the last 6 months where I've really pushed to outsource and systemize so much in my own business.
Can I give one quick suggestion here before I forget it? People make a lot of mistakes when they're hiring virtual assistants. Like, they try to hire them to write blog posts. That's not going to happen. Nope. You need to see virtual assistants as being useful for replacing them in repeatable processes.
Absolutely.
Right? So, like, in terms of, like, I want them to manage my calendar and manage my inbox and, like, do it. No, don't think of it like that. Think of it as, like, even though it's something like if you have just anything that can be – instructions can be written – and a process can be written that they can follow that mentality. Mm. For example, instead of writing content, maybe you'll get them to research content. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you make list posts, the first two examples of the list post, so they can see exactly how it should be. Write some instructions, and then they do the rest of the research. They write the rest of the list post, and we just kind of go through and clean it up.
Mm.
That's one example of how you might use a virtual assistant.
That's really good.
Yeah.
One example as well for myself is with the podcast is actually creating a list of WordPress influencers and other kind of design experts, design influencers on Twitter, etc. So I've got people researching those, giving me lists and giving me kind of a paragraph background on each person so I can kind of review. Because there's no way on earth I'm going to have the time to find everyone. And there's so many people. I'm being introduced to people through guests as well, which is awesome. But, you know, having someone else spending the time reading all the information, and giving me a really good honed down list of some really valuable people that I can connect with and hopefully get on the podcast has been amazing and really liberating for myself because I'm not spending hours, you know, on the internet. I'm actually watching TV or taking my little girl out. We're going bowling tomorrow. Can't wait. It's her birthday.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Well, someone is doing that work. So
say happy birthday to her for me, and she'll probably say, wait, who is it again? You're like, it's Matt. Oh, the guy that like whispers in your ear in the car. that really weird guy.
Yes.
I don't know if I like him, Daddy.
Jobrack.eu, Lee. Hire your next employee. That's amazing, mate. Hey, you've been a great laugh. I love it when people come on here and just have a laugh whilst sharing amazingness. You're amazing, Matt. Thank you so much for being on. And I'm going to put JobRack, all the other stuff you put in the show notes. So people check out the show notes. It will be on leejacksondev.com / Yeah, exactly. It'll be leejacksondev.com /episode 9. So that's episode and the number 9 will be the show notes, the audio and everything. So mate, all that's left is to say thank you so much. Have an awesome afternoon, I think it is over there.
It is 8 p.m.
Ooh. Oh yeah, they're only 3 hours different. Oh, have an awesome evening, mate.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, and all that's left is for the people in the background to give you a massive round of applause. Cue applause. Okay, that didn't work. Damn it.
I was looking at over them, just like begging them with my eyes.
Mate, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Lee.
Take care. Bye bye. You too.
And that about wraps up the show. Thank you so much for listening. Your continued support is so valued by all of us here at Lee Jackson Dev and at the WP Innovator Podcast. So if you want to find out more about the podcast, head on over to wpinnovator.com. That's wpinnovator.com, and that'll take you to our most recent podcast list. You can also get in touch. I'd really love to talk to people who are listening. So many of you are contacting us, which is awesome, and we'd love to speak to more of you. If you're interested in coming on the show, do get in touch. It's leejacksondev.com/contact. We're looking to talk to people who run their own agency. We want to learn from real life experiences of agency owners just like Matt. So all that's left for me to say is adieu to you.